Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
All right, welcome to Noise Filter. This is Dr. Mark Allen Derry. Doc Griggs is not able to be with us today, so let's go ahead and get started.
Hi, my name is Hope, and I'm one of the writers for the Noise Filter podcast. Today, as I bring you a very important topic, I am not just a writer, but a parent of two small children. We thought it was important for this particular story to be told from a parent's perspective. Thanks for listening. With most people wearing masks and continuing to social distance, another level of protection was provided to those vulnerable groups unable to receive the coronavirus vaccine, one of those groups being children. Then the CDC released the guidance that those who have been fully vaccinated don't need to wear masks any longer. And as a parent, I can tell you that when that guidance came out, I was immediately worried, right? When I take my children out with me grocery shopping or anywhere, really, it gave me a sense of comfort to look around at everyone else and see that they were wearing masks, because it showed me that we were all working together to keep our children and any other vulnerable groups safe. But now that the new recommendations are out, I see more and more people not wearing masks. And I can only hope that they're fully vaccinated, but we don't know for sure. Positively, adults and teenagers are now eligible to get the coronavirus vaccine. But what about for children under 12 that are not yet approved to receive it? Parents like me have had to try to figure out how to best protect our children from infection, and it can be very scary and stressful. Thankfully, there's now some good news. According to NPR, even though a vaccinated parent can get occasionally infected with the coronavirus, and there is a small risk that the virus can then be passed on to an unvaccinated child, the risk that a child gets seriously ill is extremely small. It is comparable to the risk that children face of having serious illness as a result of the flu. However, many parents seem more worried about the coronavirus because it's new and less familiar. That anxiety is heightened by the terrible toll that COVID-19 has taken on the world, compounded with the new guidelines on mask wearing. Experts urge parents to try not to worry too much. But really, how can we not worry when, even though the risks are very low, they're not zero? A small risk has a small impact on the population as a whole. But from a parent's perspective, the population as a whole doesn't matter as much when our children are at stake. And I can agree with that 100%. As a parent, to tell me not to worry, like, that'll never happen, because we've all seen what COVID-19 has done. It's just decimated some communities. And yes, I'm so thankful that the risk is low, but it's not zero. And when you talk about small risk and low risk, you know, I have two children. What does small risk mean for my family? So the best way of lowering the risk even more is for parents to get vaccinated and also our children to get vaccinated. The vaccines are currently being tested for children under 12 years old. Dr. Rashini Matthew, a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Stanford University School of Medicine, says, once children are eligible, COVID-19 becomes a vaccine-preventable infection. Parents everywhere can then breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that this is something that they can prevent in their children. And I can tell you, I will be one of those parents doing everything I can. Thank you.
Controlling COVID-19, sacrificing mental health. Imagine being kept in an 8.5 by 10 foot cell with no visitors, eating where you sleep and go to the bathroom, and spending just 10 minutes outside, all during a pandemic. The Vermont correctional system has done well with regards to limiting COVID-19 infections and zero COVID-19 deaths, but this took a big toll on the mental health of those that are incarcerated. Those that are incarcerated have been subjected to extreme isolation and have not had access to the mental health services, increasing the number of suicide attempts, self-harm, and decrease in mental health. This method Vermont utilized has been very controversial. On the one hand, they control the pandemic, which has seen many outbreaks from the prison system, but this type of isolation has detrimental negative effects, especially in this type of setting. There were other measures Vermont used that were positive. For instance, they tested each inmate on average about 6 times over the past year. Regardless if they were showing symptoms, they were among the first states to release inmates for social distancing, and the state also housed correctional officers in motels to prevent transmissions of the virus from or to family members, and contact tracing was widely used. On the other hand, when there is facility lockdown for 20 to 30 days, then inmates are in their cells for 20 to 23 hours a day. The state did do a good job controlling the virus, but there's a great debate at what that could have done for people's mental health. Virus-killing robots. The pandemic has pushed a little bit of Renaissance era for advanced technology and science. A recent development has been that of virus-killing robots, which disinfect surfaces in public spaces. LE Electronics designed an autonomous UVC light robot to disinfect surfaces, killing any viral traces that may be present. Now listen, let's be clear. The virus is primarily transmitted, if not entirely, through airborne or respiratory droplets. But there are other viruses and other entities that can fall on surfaces. And even though for COVID, it's unlikely that transmission may occur via surfaces, I think that just still the idea of making sure that surfaces are clean is a good one. I don't think that we need to engage in hygiene theater, but I think that we do need to engage in continuing to keep surfaces clean. Now, the robots use ultraviolet light to disinfect rooms and spaces of the virus. Hospitals have been using UV light cleaning for some time now, and now people have begun to see these robots in malls, airports, hotels, and other public spaces. The demand for such technology has skyrocketed as businesses are eager to run in full capacity safely once again. It is predicted that the market for these robots will shift from $341 million in 2019 to over $2.3 billion by the year of 2025. As schools navigate plans for the start of a new academic year, many consider taking advantage of this innovative technology to maintain safe environments. The LG robot has a built-in motor sensor and turns off when people are in the vicinity. The machine was designed primarily for restaurants and corporate offices and retail stores, according to the Washington Post. It does have the ability to move about tables and chairs while on its own disinfecting along the way. While current UV light robots on the market can cost as much as $100,000, LG plans to release theirs at a more affordable price. While the virus is mainly transmitted, again, via respiratory droplets or airborne, these robots can serve to make people feel a little bit more safe. Additionally, they should be treated as another safety measure to be coupled with vaccination, mask wearing, social distancing. Now, alone, these robots are not capable of containing all transmission of COVID, but they do offer another layer of effective protection in addition to other measures in an efficient and speedy manner. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving. And remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.